We appreciate so much our Korean congregation and the celebration they brought to us today. And I asked Pastor Daniel if he'd like to say anything this morning. So,
I and my church member already thank you for your cooperation for the kingdom of God. And we know you have a heart to serve us. Like all ethnic groups. So I already pray for you, your pastor, your church leader, and all of your congregation. I pray that God remember how much you have served us. So I already thank you, and our God give you the reward about what you did for us. I really thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Daniel. Thank you. Well, I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed seeing the traditional dance. Goes with Korean worship. That was awesome. You know, I didn't plan it this way. We've been in this study called The Beginning and the End, where we do Genesis 1 week and Revelation the next week. And it just so happens, I was telling Gary and Becky about this, it just so happens that the message that we're going to be involved in today, which is in Genesis 35, it's called Back to Bethel. And you know, homecoming's what we usually call this celebration. We didn't put that name on it this year. But homecoming's where people come back, right? They come back home. And so today it's going to be about Jacob coming back to Bethel, where he met God. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And it's just kind of neat how God choreographs all of this sometimes. But in Genesis 35 and verse 1, God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." If you were with us a couple of weeks ago, you remember how Esau was coming to take revenge on Jacob because Jacob had cheated him out of his birthright. So that's what it's talking about. Well, in the study so far, we've already learned about Jacob's conversion. We've already learned about his sanctification, his consecration. He was saved when he saw that stairway to heaven. He was sanctified when he wrestled with the angel and said, "Don't let me," you know, the Lord said, "Let me go." And he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And we're tempted to think that now that he's saved, now that he's consecrated to the Lord, everything's going to be all honey and no bees. Everything's going to be good. Now that he's made a full surrender to Christ, nothing can happen to him. But when you look at chapters 33 and 34, you see that Jacob got into all kinds of trouble. Folks, there's no single decision that you can ever make that's going to guarantee your dedication and consecration until the day you arrive in heaven. Living the Christian life is a matter of daily abiding in Him. If you don't, you're going to backslide. We don't hear much about that anymore. But backsliding, it's kind of like riding a bicycle with no brakes up a hill. Either you're going forward or you're going backwards, but there's no standing still. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. Either you're going to keep going or you go backwards. Outwardly, it doesn't seem like things are too bad for Jacob. You know, he's been with his uncle Laban, his herds have increased and all that, and everything he touches seems to turn to gold. But spiritually, Jacob has become a backslider. And it not only affected him, it affected his family. His daughter, Dinah, was raped. And she was taken to be the wife of a pagan chieftain. And his two sons committed unspeakable atrocities in an effort to try to avenge their sister. And when word got back to Jacob, who is surrounded by all this wealth, of all these troubles in his family, I'm sure he must have been thinking, What good does it do if a man gains the whole world and loses his own family? Jacob needed to come back to God. Maybe you need to come back to God. You may be thinking, well, Brother Gary, can't you see I'm sitting right here in church? Friend, you can sit in church every Sunday and still be backslidden. Let's take a test. Let's see if you're a backslidden Christian this morning. Are you ready? Test is pretty simple. If there was ever a time in your life when you were closer to the Lord Jesus Christ than you are right now, you're backslidden. Verse 1 is God's invitation to Jacob to come back to Bethel, where he first got right with God. And Jacob's the one that gave that name Bethel. El means God, and Beth, house of God. That's what he named this place where he met God. And when God called him back to Bethel, sweet memories must have flooded his mind and his heart. But what was God's real invitation to Jacob? Well, it was an invitation for Jacob to soak his bruised soul in the healing balm of those memories where he first met God so long ago. Do you have a Bethel? If you're saved, you do. But is God as real to you now as he was when you first met him at your Bethel? If not, I want you to know that our God is a God of a second chance. We find that all through the Bible. I'll give you several examples. God told Jonah to go preach to ungodly Nineveh, and Jonah rebelled, and he ended up with a whale house for a jail house, spent the night on a foam blubber mattress, and ended up where the whale vomited him up on the beach. Any backslidden preacher would make you sick to your stomach, and so I guess that's what happened. So God spoke to Jonah again after that, and he recommissioned Jonah, and he went back to his own Bethel. Moses is another example. He started out as a missionary and ended up being a murderer. Spent 40 years on the backside of the desert, and yet God appears to him again in a burning bush, and he recommissions him and gives him a second chance. Another example, Samson was the heavyweight champion of the Old Testament, but he lost his title because of sin and compromise. He got his hair cut in the devil's barbershop. And he was shorn of his power with God, and yet God came and empowered him one more time. Peter, in the New Testament, swore and denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus Christ before a little Hebrew maiden. But he bitterly wept over his sin and came back filled with the Holy Spirit and became the flaming apostle of Pentecost. God told Jacob, come back to Bethel. If you're away from God today, he's telling you exactly the same thing. He's the God of a second chance. But not only do I want you to see Jacob's invitation to come back to Bethel, I want you to see Jacob's determination. Look at verses 2 through 4. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments and let us arise and go up to Bethel and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all of those strange gods which were in their hand and all of their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Now, first of all, he makes a decided choice. Jacob had to choose against all of those false idols that had come into his life and into the life of his loved ones and all those that were traveling with him. You say, well, Brother Gary, I don't have any idols. Are you sure about that? An idol is anything that you love more than Almighty God. You know what I can do? I can get your check stubs and find out immediately what your idols are. Anything that you love more, anything that you spend more time with, anything that you spend more money on than God is your idol. Some of you have made idols out of your possessions. Some of you have made idols out of your pleasures. Some of you have made idols out of your family. But you cannot love your family the way you ought to until you love the Lord the most. My wife, Becky, knows that she's not number one in my life. And she likes it. I know I'm not number one in her life. But you know what? Becky knows that I can love her far more deeply if I put God first. And friend, if Jesus doesn't have first place in your life, you're an idolater. And idolatry is the chief among all sins. Now, not only was there a decided choice, there was a divine cleansing as a result of that choice. The last part of verse 2 says, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. It's not until we confess and forsake our sins that we have mercy. It's not until we deal with our idolatry that we can be clean. Folks, you can't come back to Bethel dirty. You can't have happiness and fullness or freedom like you had when you first met the Lord until you make this decided choice that leads to a divine cleansing. It's not going to do you any good this morning to listen to this message until you're ready to make a choice. Until you're ready to be done with that thing that comes between you and the Lord. But when you make that choice, there's going to be a divine cleansing. And not only that, there's going to be a definite change. Last part of verse 2 says, change your garments. Now the change of garments represents a change of life. Now, so first there's Jacob's invitation. God tells him, come back to Bethel. And that's what he's saying to you today. But then we see Jacob's determination. He says, we're going to do this. Talking to his family and those that are traveling with him. And God's invitation without your determination just isn't going to get it done. The person sitting in your seat this morning has to say, I'm going to do this. But then I want you to see Jacob's preservation. Look at verse 5. And they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they didn't pursue after the sons of Jacob. Wonder why. See, all the pagans around there hated Jacob and they hated Jacob's God. They were out for vengeance. They represent the demons of hell who'd like to stop the work of God and hurt God's people. But there was a supernatural dread that fell on the enemies of God and the enemies of Jacob. Why? Well, it sure wasn't because they were afraid of Jacob. The devil's not afraid of you. He's afraid of your God. The devils tremble at the name of Jesus. And every child of God is preserved from the power of the devil, but not as long as you have your idols clutched to your chest. Friend, listen to me. Those idols that you're carrying around are the devil's right, his legal right, to do whatever he wants to in your life. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil a club to beat you with. Don't let idolatry be in your life. The backslider is the dirty plaything of an even dirtier devil. But when you let go of this world with both hands, the world can no longer hurt you. Why? Because God's going to build a wall of protection around you. Just like he did for Jacob. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Are you being kicked around by the devil because of some unconfessed, unrepented of sin in your life? Jacob had an invitation. Jacob made a determination. Jacob had preservation. But then I want you to see Jacob's revelation. What did he learn back at Bethel? Verse 7. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now Jacob had originally named this place Bethel. I told you already that means house of God. When he goes back, he changes the name just a little bit. He adds another little syllable to it. El Bethel, which means the mighty God of the house of God. Why did he do that? I think something had happened to Jacob that happens to us. You know what it is? Sometimes worship and ritual and religion starts to take the place of God. Some of you know this place as Bethel, because this is where you met God. You come now and you sing your hymns. You might even sing in the choir. You carry your Bible. You meet your friends. And every Sunday you just kind of go through the ritual. You know this is the house of God, but do you know the mighty God of the house of God? You see where I'm going with this? See, this has just become a habit for you. You know the place, but you've forgotten the person. Is God real to you this morning? If he's not, then you are backslidden. That's what happened to Jacob. But not only did God reveal to him the glory of his person, he also revealed to him the greatness of his power. Verses 9 and 10, and God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan-Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Now you remember the last time Jacob was here, God changed his name to Israel. So why does he do it again? God is reminding Jacob of what he had obviously forgotten. He had slipped back into his old Jacob ways. You remember what Jacob means? Jacob means conniver, con man, cheat. You know, he spent some time with his uncle Laban, who was just as big a conniver and cheat as he was. And he'd slip back into that old way of life. And every backslider needs to be reminded of who he or she is. Do you know who you are? If you're a child of God, do you know who you are? You're heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Do you know that you're a royal priesthood? That you're a holy nation? Do you know what really happened to you when you got saved? I'm telling you, the backslider forgets about all of that. Look at verses 11 and 12. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. Kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. So God is just reiterating the promises that he made so long ago. And this old backslider is kept because God had a sovereign will for his life. And he's not going to let him go. See, you're not only saved by grace, you're kept by grace. But there's one last thing. I want you to see Jacob's dedication. Look at verses 13 through 15. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. If you've ever been with us in our Ray Vanderlaan series, you know the lesson about standing stones. The people would stand a stone up where God had done something special. And then when people would come along and see the standing stone, they say, what does this stone mean? And that's your invitation to say, let me tell you what God did. Well, he's doing that here. He stands up a pillar of stone, and it says he pours out a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. Now, what does that stone represent? It represents Jesus Christ, who's the chief cornerstone. In the Old Testament, they anointed with oil. And the name of Christ means anointed one. Now, it also says that a drink offering was poured out here. Now, what's that about? This is the first time a drink offering is ever mentioned in the Bible. So what is it? Well, after a sacrifice was made on the altar, this extra offering was poured out on the sacrifice, and when it was poured out, the heat of the flames would vaporize it, and it would be gone forever. And in the case of Jacob, it would be absorbed into the ground and gone forever. Same different. What this is a picture of our complete dedication to God, our life being poured out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jacob is saying, here's my life one more time, Lord. I pour it out like I should have been doing all the time. Friend, have you done that? Is God calling you back to Bethel? Our musicians are going to come. We're going to close the service with an invitation time. But I want you to give some serious thought to what we've been talking about this morning. Remember what I said the definition of a backslider was? If there's ever been a time in your life where you were closer to God than you are right now, you're a backslider. And something needs to be done about that. You need to come back to Bethel. Be reminded of who you really are in the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we going to sing, Gary?
174.
174 is our invitation. I'd invite you to stand. But more so, I would invite you to come to the altar if you need to today to say, Lord, I need to be reminded of who I am in you, a joint heir with Christ, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. Lord, show that to me again. Show me who I really am right now. Because I've got to admit my sin before I can be saved. Or I've got to see who I've backslidden into before I can be restored. Decision's yours. God's putting the ball in your court right now. So as we sing, you decide what you need to do. The altar's open for any kind of a decision today. Maybe you just need to come and pray, but whatever it is, be obedient to God's call on your life as we sing. Thank Miss Helen for her song this morning, and I want to thank the Korean congregation for sharing with us once again your traditional worship. Gary?
I just wanted to comment about the children. I couldn't believe how perfect their notes are and on key, their melody. They're good singers. Really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We pray your blessing on each of these different congregations that are part of our church that have met with us today. We pray your blessings on each one. Pray your blessings on each person here. We pray that you'd meet every need. And we pray our greatest need is you and to have you in charge of our lives. And Lord, let us keep you in charge. Confess our sins daily and let you live your life through us. We thank you for your goodness, your blessings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join our hands as we dismiss.
We are one in the body.